Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with a Girlfriend with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Hey, Julie.
I'm amping it up. Woohoo!
My gosh, I can't believe it.
You can't believe what?
How come you're so happy?
I'm amping it up, girl.
You're just amping it up.
You're purposefully amping it up. Okay. Well, I want to talk about a few things this week.
Yeah.
Hey, if you don't know who we are, we're Christine, Marie, and Julie. We're mother and daughter. And we hope during
Are you the mother and I'm the
I'm the daughter, even though everybody... I would like to say no one has ever asked me, hey, so who's a daughter? And I always go, oh, that's so funny. No, no, really, who's a daughter? Mm. And all I... And usually my mind, the middle finger is appearing in my head.
Like, right.
You don't know this person, but I am giving you the middle finger.
And then secretly in my mind, I'm blessing them.
Yeah, secretly in your mind. So at that moment, they are being cursed and blessed at the exact same time.
So kind of... It just
crosses itself out.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why you always say, you know, when I go too good, you go too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because we must balance out the energy in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we're good.
Well, you know, you're talking about cursing. Just, I know you got some things you want to talk about,
yeah.
But I just want to say this to you.
Sure.
When we went out to our little cabin, Lodge Cottage Cabin,
yeah,
last weekend, we were looking in the, they have a shed there, and they left a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, there's kind of some interesting stuff, a lawnmower, a weed whacker, but there was this one thing, it was like this pole, and it had this, like cup on it, like you might put a candle in it, but it really wasn't, I think... big enough or anything to put a candle in. And then it had a little chain, a snuffer. Like you take this thing and you would snuff it if it was a candle.
Okay, yeah.
But it was weird because I'd never seen anything like it in my entire life.
Mm.
And when I held it, and I felt like it had like weird vibes. Like, was this used in some kind of weird ceremony? And it was, and I had all this like everything just started flowing in because we had found like really way back in a closet shelf,
right?
Like really far back, because if you would just look, you wouldn't have seen this,
right?
But there was this huge bag of like Mardi Gras beads that you'd get in New Orleans, you know,
right.
And
when you say huge, what do you mean by huge bag?
I would say like.
A trash
over
bag?
100 beads.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of beads, right?
Yeah. All different colors. And then you put that in with this odd ceremonial thing. And I'm starting to think, man,
well,
there's some stuff going on there.
Well, because the people who we bought at the Lodge Cottage Cabin from, they, you know, he must have been in his 70s, right? You think? So it's kind of fun to think that he was this, or were the people before him? You know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But what was interesting is that I remember you talking about these beads before, and just now thinking about it, do you think it's more likely that they received the beads in exchange for something, or they were getting ready to disperse the beads for exchange in something? And, you know.
I have no idea.
And is it better to, which would be
and
better?
And do you barter with the beads?
Listen, it's all bartering. It's all an agreement. Hey, I'll give you some beads. If you
show me your boobies.
That's what happens in New Orleans, as you say. But, you know, I don't know what it is like in Lodge Cottage Cabin territory.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it is a quote-unquote, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, a family place.
Yeah. Well, I get a sense, you know, when I'm there.
Yeah.
There are times when there's just like mad kids there, right?
Right. There's an undertow.
There's this undercurrent of people that are like,
our
age,
lifers.
Young, maybe young retirees,
yeah,
or something that,
well,
there could be some swinging going on,
yeah,
in Jellystone.
Yeah, when I was swimming last fall because they had the pools open and heated the pools up for until, goodness, almost.
It was November,
yeah,
wasn't it?
October 15th, I think.
Yeah.
And I was there and it was a warmer fall and there was a couple there and I would have thought they were together.
I thought they were together.
But they were just neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And they had their, there was nobody else in the pool.
Mm-mm.
It was a school day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was swimming. They were there and they had their cooler full of beer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I said, it's a family place because it's but it's also got this undercurrent of like freak. Get your freak on.
I think I seriously think there's a freak flag and that flies there.
But you know what? If you had a freak flag, what would it say? How what kind of flag would you have that would tell the world, yeah, I'm a freak. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and I don't even know what that means exactly.
I know what I would do.
Well, tell me, what would it
be? If our little Lodge Cottage cabin at Jellystone had to fly a flag. I mean,
and not the American flag that we have.
We do have the American flag.
That we flag so proudly.
We fly that thing real proudly.
Yes.
Real proudly.
Yeah.
I think I would have a unicorn flag.
That okay, you have a unicorn flag.
I think that would let people know. First of all, it wouldn't be intimidating if the children saw it.
Right.
But if a freaky adult saw it,
they go, oh,
maybe
they might get, oh, look at that. Yeah. You're a unicorn.
Yeah. What would you do?
Well, I almost would like have it like something kind of funny, like in this pitch flag. At certain places, go, does that spell the word freak? You know, like, and, you know, mm-hmm. they'd be like, it'd be like the sky, like a skyline of a city. And in the background, you're going at some view, you're going, I think that spells out the word freak on mm-hmm. that.
I get the clouds that spell
yeah,
that freak.
Yeah, something like that, you know.
So people would go, oh, this is a freak flag.
A freak flag. I would hit him over the head with it, but you wouldn't be truly hit over the head with it. Yeah, but it's sort of like those posters with, you know, the dolphins jumping into the water. You know, you have to squint your eyes really hard and focus, you know, like see through the poster. And then all of a sudden, this 3D image will come through.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Eye art.
It would be an eye art.
Yeah.
You'd come up with the unicorn. And would your unicorn also be like rainbows in the background as well?
Possibly.
Interesting. Well, it was funny because
possibly
I was watching the end of Deadpool, you know, that Ryan Reynolds movie,
mm-hmm.
and it's the credits are rolling, and he's on a unicorn, a cartoon of him, and he is gently and forcibly at the same time, like different speeds, he's stroking the unicorn's horn, and I'm like, well, this is interesting, and then the unicorn, for lack of a better word, ejaculates rainbows and then poops out dollar bills. I don't know why. And I go, wow. And so in some ways you could have, you know, who knows? I mean, you could have a person riding the unicorn
mm-hmm.
and rainbows
coming out of the horn.
Yes.
And poop coming, no, dollar bills coming out of the...
Yes,
poop.
Not directly, but it was like an adult would not get it. Mm-hmm. An adult might see it, mm-hmm. but definitely a kid would not notice it.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know, you'd have to... But, you know, kids are so smart nowadays. I mean...
They walk by, hey, Mom, those people there, they're freaks.
Did you see that freak flag up there? That unicorn, whoa, that's a freaky unicorn, man. That's freaky.
You know, I feel extremely not cool right now because I feel old school.
Okay,
and
why?
I was watching Joel McHale, mm-hmm. and not just Joel, but a lot of people this week have made fun of, or maybe taken Luann, the Countess Luann, taking her to school.
Which they need her to, kind of.
On the Halloween outfit that she wore on Housewives of New York. And she came as Diana Ross. She had this huge, huge Afro wig.
Right.
And a white dress. And she had bronzed herself.
Yeah.
And I didn't think anything. Oh, she came as Diana Ross.
Mm-hmm.
No props to me. I didn't think that the Afro was all that great. I just thought it was, I mean, she could have gotten a better Afro.
Right. It was exaggerated.
It was exaggerated.
And also Diana Ross, that's not the hair I remember her by.
Right.
I remember her big, long, you know.
Yeah. So, and I didn't think anything of it. I mean, I really, really didn't think anything of it. But everybody has said that this was in poor taste.
Yeah.
That she shouldn't have gone, they called it blackface.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see, I know what blackface looks like.
And it wasn't that.
She was all over tan or bronzed.
Right.
Dark.
She was dark. She was not blackface.
But she did not have blackface on. But everybody was like going, oh, my God, and this was a faux pas. And, oh, isn't this 2018? Where's your sensibility? And I was like,
oh, is this 2018? Like, where's your sensibility? Hey, this should be no big deal.
I mean, I was like, there was no place in me that I felt like she had committed this, being politically correct sin.
No, I agree.
I just couldn't find it. Well, not that I like her or anything. I mean, yeah. It wasn't that I
was. Well, it's interesting. When I first saw it.
You saw it too?
Uh-huh. I did see it. And I thought, oh, she may get in trouble for this.
I
first saw it. I go, she may get in trouble for this. And I go, I'm curious because she should have known better because she is older. So she knows not to do that. She knows people in history who have gotten in trouble for that.
But just being dark or being, I mean, blackface.
Because you're going as a black person.
Just going as a black person. Well, imitating a black person.
I don't know, because if you went as Michael Jackson, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
No,
I don't. Why would that be different?
Well, because maybe you wouldn't.
He's more iconic or.
No, I mean, maybe you wouldn't go as a black person. You wouldn't go dressed, like your clothes would be enough.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you're saying. I don't know.
Like, I get maybe because Michael Jackson's so fair at that stage. You can go to.
Jill, you're just tap dancing now.
I don't know. But here's the thing. I thought to myself, and Carol says something. She goes,
Carol says something.
Are we doing this now? Is this okay? Is this okay? And yeah. I thought to myself, I'm curious if it is okay. And I can't figure out why it can't be okay.
Why is it not okay? I want to ask Joel McHale. I want to ask Carol why it's not okay.
Well, it's not okay because people need to have something to fight against or rub up against and they have something to talk about on these shows.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously she did it to get some kind of. I'm so cynical.
I don't think she did, Julie.
You think she really did it?
I don't think she did it.
This will be like a great thing.
No, I just didn't. I mean, she was on this week, Andy's.
It was actually bad bronzer, though, too. It was bad bronzer.
But it was all over her whole body.
100%.
It wasn't just, blackface. Do you remember when Ted Danson?
Yeah.
And I don't know who else, but it
would be Goldberg.
Yeah, they did blackface.
Yeah.
And, he got into
so much
major
ass.
And that's, but I just felt like she had darkened. I don't know. I didn't see anything wrong with it. So I'm like, oh my God, I am no longer, I would have gotten schooled, I guess, or I don't really know.
Yeah, you would have gotten schooled. I agree with you though, because at some point I feel like we are, aren't we beyond this?
I felt like I was.
I mean, and there's,
but maybe we're not.
Right. When is it okay? If she's an iconic person, you're going as an iconic person. So does that mean that unless you are close in gender, mm-hmm. close in looks, close in color, close in race, close in everything, mm-hmm. you can't go as that person?
Well, do you remember years ago, maybe it wasn't too many years ago, but the number one Halloween costume for children, little kids, was Baby Hitler. And they'd have this little mustache and the little haircut they put on. And then everybody was in an uproar about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. It's just can you go as Baby Hitler?
Well, first of all, we can't win the baby. They don't know it's in poor taste.
Okay, granted, it is. It's probably in poor taste.
Well, okay, so Baby Hitler. First of all, I want to know how that all happened. What was the decision making process that all on the line to have not just multiple Baby Hitlers, but our one Baby Hitler to have multiple Baby Hitlers mm-hmm. dressed up? Because Prince Harry got in trouble for going as a Nazi, and to one of his parties,
and that's just probably again, is that poor taste?
Well, I guess there's just some things. Like if I went as a Civil War person.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that.
Right. But what if I was going to a Mississippi party and I went as someone from the Union?
Oh, okay, got it.
And they're like.
You'd be dead.
I'd be dead. I don't know. I mean, it's almost ridiculous because you're going, we have such little to complain about now.
I know. It's like,
we get to talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's where our, you know, where our stress lies. That's where our sensibility lies. You know, we still haven't figured out how we're getting all the trash out of the ocean
yet. Yeah, really. Yeah. Well, I was listening to Doug Loves Movies.
Yeah.
And he had on several guests, but one in particular was Cheech Marin. Mm-hmm. And he was plugging his new line of marijuana called Cheech's Best.
Yeah.
Cheech's Best Weed or something.
Stash. I think Cheech's Best Stash. Yeah.
Yeah. Cheech's Best Stash. And it's been, you know, it's legal and he can do that and he's got a, you know, business and everything. But what was weird was the juxtaposition of his, he calls him his brother, Tommy yeah. Chong, had gone to prison for 9 months for having a bong.
A bong.
A bong.
Not and pot,
did,
a bong.
Did a solid 9 months. Yeah. Didn't get off for good behavior or anything. And I think he still, I don't know. I mean, he's even though he's out, he wanted to get kind of, what do you get, paroled or, no, right. Not paroled, but
he can't get a government job.
No, yeah, he can.
He probably's on still no-fly zone, I don't know, or passport.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. A pardon, he wanted a pardon.
Oh, right.
That's what it was. And, you know, he couldn't get that. And here's his partner selling all the weed, you know.
He says making a fortune, by the way.
And this poor guy went to prison.
For just having a bong.
Yeah, for nine months.
I don't
get
it.
What's wrong with the world? I mean,
I
imagine it was a few years ago, yeah, but.
Well, then you go, wait a minute. So really, it wasn't the crime. It was just the time. You
know? And Julie, can I just say
sure. Kudos? Yeah.
Because remember the old song was, don't do the crime if you can't
do the time.
Now you just said, don't do the time. Is that right?
Well, I
you
meant
can't
like
do the crime.
Yeah.
If you want to do the crime, make sure you do the right time.
Time for the crime.
We'll get there. I'll get there.
Make sure it's the right time for the crime.
Yes.
Things are changing. Things are real fluid right now.
Going real fast.
This may be legal today, but maybe not legal tomorrow or the other way around, so forth.
It does. Things do change. When I woke up this morning, I looked in my closet and there was my real short hair wig, you know?
Yeah.
And I went, I could put that on because I kind of feel like a man today.
Yeah.
I wanted to feel like a man and put that little short wig on.
I think that would make you feel like a man, putting that short wig on. I think you'd have to strap something else on to feel like a man. So I could give you some of Dad's socks. That might help, you know. And as you went and worked out, it'd be kind of fun to think about that.
I was thinking about taking something and kind of doing one of those cool beards that the guys wear.
Yes.
It's not like a full beard. It's just like hair on your face. I like that look. I could tap me up.
Be funny if you just started doing that.
Yeah. Now would I get in trouble from the men? Would I be politically incorrect?
I think they would go, what is going on with her? They're like, is she transitioning?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I know, I'm fluid. I'm fluid.
I just felt like a man today.
At this stage in my life, I am choosing to be fluid.
That's right.
And then they would go, are you really, or are you mocking? You know?
That's
and you're
true.
Like, you'll never know.
Right.
You'll never know. So screw you.
Right.
You don't know if I'm being fluid or mocking, you know?
Yeah.
Truly.
And do they care?
I don't know if they care or not. So I clearly I want to talk about today.
Sure.
I saw A Quiet Place, and I think I mentioned I was going to see A Quiet Place last time we talked, and I did end up seeing it. Had a couple of interesting things happen to me in A Quiet Place. Thank you, Mom, for acting out A Quiet Place.
No,
and then we've been reading Jordan Peterson, 12 Rules to Live By. From chaos to order, or order to chaos. They can both go either way, because either one extremely in the extreme is wrong.
At least to the other in the extreme.
And we're kind of the part in the book, we've skipped around a lot, different chapters. And so we're at like chapter 2 or 3 right now, even though we've read like 9, 10, you know, 8, 6 and all those things. But it's interesting because it was about only be with friends with people who want to, I can't remember the rule, but it's something about only have friends that want to help you move up,
mm-hmm.
coach you up.
Mm-hmm.
And the one before it is, you know, treat yourself like someone you have to help.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about those things, and before the show, we were doing the show that day, you said, you just threw something out. And you're like, oh, what's wrong with me? And like, and I thought to myself, that is a question I am afraid to ask. Like in my head, like I don't want to ask that question for fear someone will tell me the answer to coach me up. You know, like, hey, you know,
I can tell you if you want
to
know.
If you're really open to like finding out what's wrong with you, I am there to help you.
I got a few ideas.
I mean, I think I have. I think in some ways we've had this as a mother or daughter. You have at some point in my life a couple. I would say more than a dozen times. We have had this discussion of what. Maybe what's not wrong with me, but what I could make better, you know, or as you say, Julie, here are your flaws, know your flaws and either make them better or just work around them. Don't focus on, don't feel like.
I always
like,
say, don't do something that you
have
that,
to be someone you're not.
Exactly.
Yes.
Because then you just set yourself up for failure.
Exactly.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. And I go, but what about if that was your little goal, is to do that thing or your dream?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, at some point, we all have to grow up and get rid of our dreams. You're like, okay.
You're such a good coach, Jill.
Yeah, like that. There you go. I like that.
Oh, come on, Christine. At some point, you just got
to
give
no,
up.
No, you said to me.
No, I know, but you're telling me you're coaching me up.
Oh, am I coaching you up? Yeah.
Actually, you're kind of coaching me kind of flat.
Oh, no. That's what you say to me is like, oh, okay. We're on the same. We're agreeing.
Yeah, we're just.
I get it. Okay. I get what you're saying, but so talking about a quiet place, and so I'm open. First of all, I'm open to discussing those problems. The idea about, you know, saying what's wrong with me, and a couple times I'll share some ideas I have. But talking about a quiet place. So Doug and I were going to see a quiet place, and I have been looking forward to this since I saw the preview. Months ago, because that's how it works. They literally show you a preview that's coming out months later. And then there's always a twinge of sadness when the movie finally comes out because you realize time has passed.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God. Like I'm seeing literally previews for the like fall show movies.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, oh my God, at some time it's going to be fall.
Time has passed and I still have my Christmas lights on the porch.
And you're like, thank God, because it's almost Christmas. Hell, I have saved myself some time.
Exactly.
You know, and so Doug and I went and we got our good seats in the back. And a couple things happened. One was the theater, we got there real early, a half hour early, because I wanted to get our specific seats. They have two sections of handicap, and people go like, oh, you said a handicap seat? Yes, I did. And everybody does it because it's like, you know, it's like first come, first serve. They're the best seats in the house. Mm-hmm. But obviously, if you're handicapped, you get them.
They got big aisles. They recline.
Yeah, they're really nice.
Yeah.
And they don't, and the rule is,
first come, first serve.
Unless you're truly handicapped. And
well, what is that? How do you determine that?
I don't know. Because here's how. Well, because I have one time we were rocking in a little late. It was going to be a big, not late, but it was like 10 minutes for the show. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to go to any other movie except this one. And we didn't want to go if our seats weren't there, you know, because otherwise it's just not as pleasurable. Mm-hmm. And I go and I said, hey, listen, I go, I got my knees hurt. And this is true, though. I got some knee issues. My knees do cramp up, or they tighten up. So I like to spread my knees out, you know, whatever. And
don't
I
don't let your mother hear that, though.
Okay. But anyway, spread my knees out. There you go. I'm sure I'm not spreading them out. That's just so wrong. But straightening my legs out, you know. And I said, I don't want to go if the seats are taken because I really need them. And they go, well, we'll just kick the people out. I said, no, you're not.
You're who said this?
The people at the movie theater.
Oh, my gosh.
They said, we'll kick them out. If you need them, we'll kick them out. Mm-hmm. I go, no, because I should have gotten here way earlier. Mm-hmm. Those are prime real estate seats. I get that. Mm-hmm. And needing them is, you know, wanting them and then, like, really needing them is another story. So, they were taken, and we didn't go in that time. So, but anyway, we got there a half hour early, and once I was already taken. So I'm like, oh, thank God, I got this side. So we got our side. And so the seat's filling up. The theater is getting busier and busier still. And this one couple walks in. It's pretty quiet, but Doug and I are in the back talking. you know, the preview's having a star jet. We're talking normally. The lights are up. And a guy, and Doug really has no idea what we're seeing. He knows I want to see this movie, but he's not really connecting with the title. He has no idea. He just gives me his wallet.
As long
wallet.
As he has his popcorn,
yeah,
he's okay.
And he just literally hands me his wallet. And he says, take care of it. And I go, sure, no problem.
He gets his popcorn and he makes you put his soda in your purse.
Exactly. And then this one time, exactly. Maybe twice, three times. We'll see. But anyway, person walks in and quite loud. They go,
a couple, right?
A couple. Probably like early 60s, late 50s, right around there. They go, is this a quiet place? Is this a quiet place? Really loud. And nobody's responding to him. Mm-hmm. And so I turn around and Doug's like, what the hell is he yelling at us? Mm-hmm. And I turn around. Yes, this is a quiet place. And then Doug's like, I can just tell Doug is getting.
He's angry.
He's got like, who the F is this guy?
Yeah.
Like, is he telling us to be shut up?
Yeah.
I go, that's the name of our movie. He goes, he goes, oh my God, that's effing hilarious. I go, yes, I know. That's hilarious.
It was great.
It was great.
That's a wonderful story.
And I hope I never forget it because it's a great story.
Yeah.
So the theater is filling up, filling up, filling up. Previews have started. And literally we've got 1 minute. The show should have started by now, you know. I mean, we try to go to like the 4:30 one because we pay a little cheaper price. You know, you hate paying $10.50 for a movie at 7 o'clock. You just feel, you just hate it. So it's like 4:50. So the movie should be starting any time because they usually play a half hour previews, you know. And so literally we've been there for an hour already, right?
Ugh.
Yeah, exactly.
Luckily, the movie's only 90.
Exactly. So, like, honestly, if you're seeing a 2.5 hour movie, you're there for 4 hours. And you're just like, what?
It's longer than a baseball game.
Yeah, exactly. And so, then literally before the movie is starting, this woman comes in with two teenage kids. She's probably like in her late 30s. They're like teenagers, you know, 17, 16, right around there. And she's got her knee. She's walking in crutches and she's got her knee like she just had surgery.
In a cast?
Not in one of those casts, like one of those black.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The brace.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at Doug. I'm like, are we supposed to give our seat up? And he's like, let's see how this looks first. Let's see what she does. I'm like, she should have, and we both agreed, she should have gotten there earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one, because at this point, I'm thinking, you could have just, I mean, you.
Yeah, we quit, a little pre-thought.
I mean, the movie is basically starting. So I feel at some point we got to call it, and you no longer have the option. Now, if he literally came in a wheelchair, then that's another story. Mm-hmm. But she went in and she sat in the seat, not even the first row, by the way.
No.
So she must have been able to work something out.
Yeah.
And she didn't ask for us to move, so. Mm-hmm. Or the other people on the other side, you know, that were more able-bodied than we were.
So how was the movie?
It was long. No, it was fabulous. It was fabulous, and yet there. I mean, like it could only be 90 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a tight movie, and if it was any longer, it wouldn't have been tight.
Mm-hmm.
We've been reading a lot, Jordan, about archetypal things, and there's a lot of the reason why things work out so well is because they follow archetypal structure, you know, our people. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so archetypal, and I don't want to give it away and all this stuff, and just the journey alone, what they had to go through. The one thing it didn't have, which I was surprised with, because I thought I saw a glimpse of it in one of the previews, which is not uncommon for the preview to have no scenes. Or like to have extra scenes in it that are not in the movie. I always feel a little jerked around by that.
Oh, sure. I would too.
But in one of the previews, I swear I saw TV footage of what was going down before this all happened. Like we see day 87.
Mm-hmm.
So 87 days after these insect creatures appear, whether they had come from the base of the earth. They nuclear war happened and these things changed and morphed, or they came from a spaceship.
We just don't know.
We don't know.
What was that town in Russia that imploded? What was it? Chernobyl?
Yes.
Maybe they're from Chernobyl.
Could be from Chernobyl. Mm-hmm. You know, could be. Mm-hmm. And so we don't know any of that. And I would have liked to have seen a little bit of that, like how, but mm-hmm. I'm always fascinated how society crumbles so quickly, mm-hmm. you know?
You gotta have your food. You gotta have your 30-year food.
Well, it's funny because, yeah, exactly. We need to discuss that later. Maybe we should get a couple more.
Did they kill John Krasinski off? Is that his name, John Krasinski?
I can't tell you that.
The guy from The Office?
Yeah. He may or may not. He did. Okay. He may or may not. I don't know.
Because you don't want to spoil it for people.
Yes. So I'm just doing it for you.
Okay.
You know.
Was it really quiet in A Quiet Place? Was
the first,
theater
oh,
really
my goodness,
quiet?
The first 15, 20 minutes was so quiet. You couldn't hear a pin drop. Mm-hmm. Everybody was signing. Because the only way.
They were signing?
In the movie.
Oh, I thought they were in the audience. That would have been great.
And then what was going on was just literally for the first 15, 20 minutes, I had people farting. I don't know if they were literally farting or pretending to fart.
Because it was so quiet.
And then
quiet
you had
place.
People eating and drinking and then like trying really hard not to eat or drink. And then you had people like coughing. And you're just thinking, oh my God, we are a sick bunch of people. And I remember getting a text from Hillary, and she gave me a link to BuzzFeed and how people were just talking about their experiences
in the theater,
A Quiet Place, and, uh-huh. and the jokes that came up.
Oh, I bet there were a million of them.
Oh, yeah. And one was so funny. They quoted the movie, and it was just a line, and then A Quiet Place. Yeah. And so it was well written. It was fun. It was perfectly good, 90 minutes, and you wonder how you'd handle it, like how I would handle that situation. And at some point, you're going, maybe I'm okay to die. You know, like,
was it crappy? Was it, they tear you apart, live to live?
We don't see it. It's very quick.
Oh, just quick. That's
I mean, good. They take you. It may be like a, do you know how crocodiles kill you? Like they drown
they shake you.
You.
Oh, they drown you.
Mm-hmm. And they take you and they put you someplace else for a while mm-hmm. because they need to tenderize you. Mm-hmm. They need to work you up a little bit. So they kind of take you and they drown you. Mm-hmm. And then you're.
Then they go hide you.
Hide you.
And you know what I'm tired of though? Like,
tell me.
Every monster since Alien, I think, has that. You know, face or the mouth where another thing comes out of the mouth.
Oh, yeah, well, that's kind of
and then
what this
another
is
thing comes out of that.
Yeah.
Can I just say I'm tired of that?
Yeah.
Can't we think of something better?
Well,
or
yeah.
Different, at least?
Well, I understand that idea because the truth is these monsters, they're truly monsters. And so to think that they came from a UFO, like they had the technology to travel,
but yet they look like this. Yeah.
But so instead of like becoming down here and growing food and or even collecting us mm-hmm. and like hurting us, you know, like mm-hmm. hey, and then you know,
yeah,
they
really.
They've chosen to
yeah,
just,
yeah,
in on. Their wild animalistic way, yeah. just take us. Unless they were animals on a different planet, and the population goes, we gotta get rid of these guys.
Oh,
but how do we
send them to Earth?
Or like, yeah, how do we colonize Earth? Let's put some crazy-ass monsters on that planet. Let them do the work. You know, there's no judgment with them. They're not mm-hmm. evil or good. They're mm-hmm. they just do their nature. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we'll see how they fare out. If they survive, then I guess we'll move on. Mm-hmm. If they don't survive, we got a new planet to go to. Oh, that's a pretty interesting idea.
Yeah, you're pretty harsh, though. That's pretty cruel.
Well, I'm not saying I would do that.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
But in your imagination, you've thought of that.
I just now. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I guess at this moment, I'm pretty harsh. I'm
yeah.
pretty cruel.
Yeah.
You know. But what if your planet was dying or you were expanding? And you're like, you know, and you thought about it. And like, they're like, oh, these Earthlings, you know, we're looking at them. They're going to destroy their planet anyway. Mm-hmm. It's inevitable, you know.
Yeah, we just make it happen a little faster.
We don't want them to destroy the planet plus themselves. Let's just send out some interesting monsters to take mm-hmm. care of the job.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
And each kind of, each sort of, each area, they have an area, and each of them get three monsters.
I don't know if that's true, but that's at least true. This, you know, we know mm-hmm. a few things, not told, but mm-hmm. we see clues on a board, like a police board,
mm-hmm.
you know, like all the clues.
Because you can't talk.
Right. And like, you know, and they don't talk to the audience, thank God. Like, hey, audience, look here. Bored. We're not speaking because it's supposed to be really quiet.
Does anybody speak in the movie at
yeah.
all?
Yes. A couple things. And one person has a baby. And
she goes, ow.
Yeah.
And then the monster comes.
Yeah.
Is it true?
Yes, exactly. Oh, it's horrible.
Oh, my God.
It's horrible. But so there's a few flaws, okay, in this movie. And Doug and I afterwards were like, okay, I'll tell you one flaw. Mm-hmm. Here's one flaw. We were like, they're stupid. Because first of all...
The monsters are?
No, these two people.
Oh.
The mother and father are stupid. Mm-hmm. Because at some point, it's day 400 and something. Which means that she gets pregnant.
No way.
Before. I mean, like, while this is
while
going
this is
down.
Going on, they decide to have sex.
Well, I mean, you could get...
Really?
You couldn't figure... I mean, as adults, you couldn't figure that out.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
This is a... Can we just keep saying this? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
That was a flaw. They should have been like day 200.
Yeah.
Like, oh, she didn't know she was pregnant.
Right.
And this happened. Right. Oh, I can buy that.
Yeah.
But we're like, day 400 and something, and she's just now going to have a baby? Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh,
hell no.
Oh, my God.
Really?
You couldn't find a condom in one of those, you know, burnt out drugstores? I mean, whatever. And so we were just like.
You want to bring a baby into this?
Oh, and the way, because Hillary's pregnant, you know. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, but the audience may not know. And Hillary is Doug's daughter. Mm-hmm. And I said, the way they deal with this pregnancy is gonna knock you out, like going, this was your brilliant plan. This was it. You're gonna go, what? And so that was kind of so there's some definite flaws.
Yeah.
It's sort of like at the end of the day you're going, oh, don't open the door. There's a monster behind the door. What, you know.
So like it says, it should, you know, like the Oracle at Delphi.
Yeah.
It says, all ye who enter here, be wise or something like that. As you enter the door into that movie, you just go, suspend all your judgment on,
right,
you know, critical thinking. Just suspend it.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Put it away. Just have your popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
And enjoy.
Yeah. Enjoy. Exactly. And so you're going, oh, wow, this is just... So there are some things that are not plausible, but hey, you know.
You know what? I know I made a funny joke to you, and the more I think about it, I don't... For whatever reason, every time I think about the movie A Quiet Place, I think about these two words. Maybe they're three. I don't know. But I think this... Here's what I think. Church hard-ons.
Yes.
Now, I've told you this, right?
Yeah.
Now, I don't understand why I do that. But maybe because I'm thinking about the people in the theater, not the actual actors.
Right.
Because I'm thinking, like, you have to, if you have to be really quiet in the theater.
Yes.
Because, you know, the movie's real tense and everything.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. I didn't think that you were thinking that the actors on the movie were all going to have to
But am I off thinking church hard-ons?
No, I don't think so.
You know, just like, it's so quiet in a quiet place that I got a church hard on.
Well, can you just put the microphone to Elliot right now?
Okay.
If they can hear this? Because this is what we go through. If you can figure out this noise. Maybe you can. I don't know. I don't know if you can.
It's kind of nauseating.
It is very nauseating. So that is...
He's eating his toes. Or is that his...
If his toes are underneath his tail, that's what he's eating.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. He's right on my pillow doing that.
Yeah, he does this slurping, licking, and then he wants to kiss you. And you're just like, I know where that mouth has been.
Yeah, truly.
Then we forget about it. We somewhere our brain allows us to forget it.
Well, we kind of, in our family, we have the 2-minute rule. If it's been...
sorry.
Now he's like out of
breath. Exhausted, out of breath.
He's exhausted.
He's got a smile on his face. He's got a smile on his face, and his, you know, his, like, face hair is backed up, like he's got. We call it.
We call it
ass wax.
Like, we call it ass wax. That's the one thing we can. Is it the hair on his like?
So that was my overall. I'm gonna say an A- of a movie. Mm-hmm. I'll say an A+ because it was nice to be part of the culture of A Quiet Place for the first weekend.
Yes,
that was fun. Weekend.
And now this weekend, I'm commanding you to see Rampage.
Yeah, you said that you read a book about it, you said. You said I think it was a book.
I do believe it was a book that I read years and years ago. Book. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I loved the book.
Yeah.
So if the movie is even, you know, remotely as good as the book, and of course, you know, my friend who befriended me on Facebook is
The Rock.
In the movie. Mm-hmm. The Rock is in it.
Yeah, that would be lovely. I don't know if we'll see it this weekend or not, but I think it's a cool thing, you know? It's very cool. I got shamed again a little bit, you know, so I'm going to kind of take a little turn. We got about 15 minutes left of the show, and I always have to end on a bad note.
Did you, let me guess, do I know about this?
I don't know if you know about it or not. Shamed. I've been shamed. I try to think that
you got
maybe
puppy shamed today.
I got dog shamed.
Is that the one?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
You know, I got dog shamed. Someone in our complex is having a moving sale. They sold their house in 6 days or 9 days.
Wow.
It's amazing because, you know, we debate this all the time. We're like, should we build again? We got to move. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Potentially sell, whatever.
Yeah.
And they sold it 9 days. And it's just a normal house, you know.
Yeah. Cute.
But anyway, they go, well, where do you live? And I told them. They're like, oh, do you have that gazebo in your, like a dog gazebo in your front yard? I go, yeah. Oh, I go, I see your, I go, is it your husband who walks that dog? I go, no, it's not my husband. It's my father. I'm like, how old do I look to the world? I don't know. It's crazy. And then,
but he could have a young chick.
Yes, he
could be married to a young chick.
I'm your sister and his wife or sister wife. There you go. And so, luckily, I have no ego because none of this stuff bugs me, which is very interesting. And for my own psyche, I think this is funny. And so, anyway, she's talking to me, and she's like, "Oh yes, the man who walks that dog when I go to church on Sunday mornings, he's always out there, and I drive right by your house to pick up a friend of mine to go to church with me. And, that dog just wants to go chase me, and he has the hardest time keeping him under control." I'm like,
that would be Dad.
Oh, could you not be any more weaker, Dad, or look weaker?
Yes.
You know, and so forth. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, that's my dog. Yeah,
that's my dad.
I go, that's my dad and that's my dog. Yeah. I go, he really is a good dog. I mean, we walk in downtown Oregon. He's fine. Kind of.
Oh, no, you're dog park. Dancing.
Yeah. Well, we had.
We have.
We have.
Yeah.
We go to dog park. He's fine. I go, but for whatever reason around our house, it's like every time he sees a car.
I know, you know, and I think sometimes he's getting worse, Julie.
Sometimes he is.
You know, and what did I just say this week? I go, we just got to talk to Pat again.
I have to be, am I committed to be going to training with him?
Do you think it would help at this point?
Yeah, I do. I mean, well, do I give up? Do I say the next 10 years of my life, I feel shameful about my dog?
I know. Well, when we went to the vet, you said to me that, the old doctor vet, oh, I'm 87 years old.
Yeah.
And you said, you know, he likes Elliot, but you told him kind of, you know, I need help. Elliot still is not very good in toilet training, you know, potty training.
And he's 90% good.
He looked at you, the old vet did, and said, oh, was his crate too big as a puppy?
Yeah. And I'm like, yes. I go, yeah, that was
part of. Did you tell him that we went to the Goodwill and got a
playpen?
A playpen.
No, I didn't tell him that.
I guess that's too big.
Yeah.
And I was so proud of that little guy.
I know, but it's so funny because in my mind, I was blaming you. I go, because that was your idea, that playpen. I say we should give him a little tiny crate. You're like, he's not going to be happy in a crate. I go, it doesn't matter if he's happy or not. We got to train this dog.
I know, and I had all these good, I really did have good, you know, I really did have good hopes that he would be just a wonderful dog.
He's got a wonderful personality.
Yeah,
he's sweet. in some, like, he's wonderful to us, mm-hmm. but he's crazy for everybody else. No, he's not. He's a good boy. Yeah. But it's the one thing that would make my life 100% better me if too. He was better.
Yeah.
And it would require just me putting a lot of effort into it.
And whenever I see a person traveling with their dog, you know, just yeah. in the car, I get so jealous.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if Elliot was loose... I mean, he travels in a crate with us, you know?
Right?
But if he was loose, he would be flying from the ceilings.
I think so.
Oh yeah, he yeah. would be.
I mean, if be. Because like we have done it a couple times, and you may hear him now because he sees a squirrel outside. Mm-hmm. But no, it was just a car. Oh, for heaven's sakes! But yeah, so I got shamed for that, and so you know, and it's funny because I'm reading Jordan, and right now he's talking about really, it's your duty. In some sense, mm-hmm. to be the best you can be, to, you know, to aim higher mm-hmm. and higher, even mm-hmm. if you fail. It's your duty to do so.
It's your duty to fail.
It's your duty to fail. It's your duty to try. It's your duty to move forward mm-hmm. because, you know, it's sort of like you have a duty to the community and to the and world.
To, you have a duty to evolution.
And to evolution.
I mean,
and to
I understand that. He lays a good argument for it. He right. really does.
And
but it makes me feel sad, though, for the people that literally couldn't. You know, like right. you have one friend that committed suicide.
Yeah.
And, you know, another that descended into drugs and things right. like that. And it's... You know, it's not like, you know, or, some people for can't me, overcome that.
And I'll you tell know? You what, like, because I had Lyme disease, and if you haven't remembered, people, because I've talked about it enough, you know, I was diagnosed with Lyme disease in end of June, mm-hmm. beginning of July, mm-hmm. and, you know, my infectious disease doctor said, listen, you're going to come here every day for a month, you're going to get your antibiotics, and do not buy into the fact that you're going to feel differently if you go and get antibiotics once a month or a shot here and there. Mm-hmm. It's just going to cost you money and you're not going to be able, it won't change anything. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. But the one thing, and it could be my medicine that I'm on for my neuritis, for my eyes, because mm-hmm. I had a pseudo tumor, you know, I had a tumor in my head, a pseudo tumor, just mm-hmm. fluid, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, from the Lyme
disease.
But it
made your eye... Or what was it? Well,
my optic nerves.
Yeah, your optic nerves.
I have some blind spots, but luckily it doesn't hurt my peripheral vision or my main vision. Just somewhere in the middle. It's like, and you realize the brain's pretty amazing because I don't see black there. Mm-hmm. It
fills it in.
It fills it in. It fills it in with similar colors. You know, right. you're able to figure it out.
Right. You're pretty amazing.
Well,
Jess,
but what is interesting is that. The one thing I think my Lyme disease has done for me, because I feel like I might have had longer than what I really had it, mm-hmm. is that I no longer can tell time correctly. Like weeks go by and I'll have this anxiety attack going, oh my God, I lost a month of my life right now. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, it's April. Mm-hmm. And I'm freaking out. Like, I thought it was literally, it felt like March to me.
It also feels like, oh my God, summer's almost here.
Yeah. And
the
fall.
Kids are almost out of school.
Yeah. And then
oh
like,
my God, I'm so grateful I have my Christmas lights up.
Still. Yeah, exactly. And so is it, maybe it's not Lyme disease, maybe it's just life.
I don't know,
It
Jill.
Seems like it's going by really fast, but like I, it's just like, I at some
it doesn't
point.
It feel right though. It just feels like I want to slow it down. I want to savor it, you know?
Yeah, me too. But I don't know.
But it's just going by so
fast. I don't
fast.
Know. It's going by so fast.
I heard somebody call the era that we live in the post-truth era. Because in this post-truth era, things are different. And I actually had to sit there and like, because I'm so used to just spouting out, oh, we live in a fake news era.
Yeah.
And everything's fake news. Who knows what it is? But somebody knows the truth. And this, you know, it's like, it's fake news.
Right.
And you now, if you've seen clips, you've got all these other leaders from all these odd-sounding countries going,
right.
oh, fake news.
Right,
fake
right.
news. But and then I heard this one guy call it the post-truth era. I went, wow.
Wow.
That's so sad.
Because then you...
But maybe there was never any truth anyway.
Well, because Jordan says the only thing you should do is tell the truth. That's the only thing you can do in life.
Is tell your truth.
Tell your truth. Yeah. Tell the truth and tell your truth. Don't and because the three negative trinity, the three bad things, are deceit,
resentment,
and
The A word.
Yeah. So when you're like an egomaniac, you're like
oh my God.
You know, what's it called when you're like have to have attention all the time?
Well, a narcissist, but that's not the word though.
No, but it's kind of like that.
Arrogance.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's the negative Holy Trinity.
Yeah. For Jordan. I was watching Locked Up Abroad. You know,
you locked up abroad.
I don't think I said that correctly.
God, I've been wanting a locked up abroad. I let her out to do a little housework.
What's
make
it called?
Sandwich.
That can't be right. What's it? What is it called?
You locked up abroad.
That's what it sounds like. What it came called out of my mouth.
No, it is. It's called locked up abroad.
I must have said it wrong though, because it literally sounded like,
as you said, locked up abroad.
So anyway, and this guy,
it's all in the inflection.
I guess was in Kuwait in a jail cell. And
good.
Yeah, exactly. Not was it Kuwait? Who did Iraq invaded? Was it Kuwait? They invade Kuwait. We had to come over there.
Don't know, girlfriend.
I think it was. But anyway, he escaped jail because when the Iraqis invaded Kuwait, somehow there was one guy in the jail cell. They all tried to break through the guards left because they were all scared. Because there's only one road basically going into the Kuwait, you know, and this is where the prison's at. And, but there was one guy in prison who had, as he called it, thick legs like a trunk of a tree, and he was able to kick the gate down. And so they escaped.
Wow.
Yeah. And,
I'd like to meet that guy with the tree trunk legs.
Right, exactly. But what he was talking about is that he read the Quran, mm-hmm. and it was the only thing that saved him in prison. And
why
was the only thing that saved him, or why did he read it?
No, why was reading the Quran the thing that saved him?
Well, when he quoted it, you realize it's very similar to the Bible. He was talking about...
Oh, it saved him emotionally.
Emotionally.
Got it.
Yeah. Or, no, it happened to be, he kept it in his pocket, and a guy tried to shoot him.
The bullets hit the Quran.
And it saved him.
Well, I didn't know if you were being literal or...
I was being...
Metaphysical.
Metaphysically literal.
That was an analogy, Mom.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm...
Maybe it was an allegory, Julie.
But when it talked about, he goes, you know, do not be arrogant in your ways. You know, ask for forgiveness. Be kind. I mean, he was repeating it, and it was like, oh, this is just so, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's good life lessons, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and so forth.
But how did it save him then?
Well, because I think it was probably the only book he could read in prison. Mm-hmm. But he said it, he goes, if you want to know how it was, we had like six or seven to a cell, and we had one air conditioning, or one fan that would blow, you know, and it was 100 degrees all the time and 100% humidity.
Oh, my God.
And he said, you just stood there. You sat there on the floor, and when the fan came on you, you just take a deep breath in, and then it would leave you.
Oh,
and that just would happen all day long.
Oh, my God.
He said he got 5 years of this, but in year two, I think, is when Iraq invaded Kuwait, and the guy with the tree limb legs broke out, and so forth.
Gosh. Yeah. How could you, like, I mean, it'd be so, you know, like, to be so depressed, you wouldn't move and just wait for the fan, and yet you'd still have to be strong enough every day, do some strength so that if you had a chance to break out.
Well, because you're still in the middle of the desert. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to run 20 miles of town or something in the middle of the desert.
To an oasis or something.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, luckily he was youthful, you know, and so forth.
Luckily,
you know, in a sense that he could do it. I would be like, oh, screw it. Whatever happens to me.
Yeah, I'd like to know what he was in for.
Drugs.
In Kuwait, selling drugs or whatever.
Something like
that. Or just using drugs.
They
what
kidnapped.
The heck, Julie?
I know. I wouldn't. Well, you know what? sometimes their frontal lobe, men's frontal lobes are not developed. Teenagers,
yeah,
their frontal lobes aren't developed until like 25.
Yeah.
They really make piss poor decisions.
Got it.
It's sort of like that. Remember that kid way back in the day when he went to Singapore?
And he got caned?
Yeah, for spitting gum out.
Yeah.
And like he knew not to do that, and but he still did it.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you know, you knew.
Yeah, but just like Melania, she knew, you know, she knew about Trump.
Yeah,
well, but you still, it's, she still did it.
She still married him.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I get, listen.
Do you get my reference?
Well, yeah. I'll tell you what. If you're going to give me $500 million in the divorce, I'll get Kane too.
Right.
I mean, I'll take him for the team. You know, I'm like, she signed me up, you know. So if I get caned in front of everybody in Singapore, I will get, you'll give me $500 million or even like $100 million?
Right.
What would be your limit? What would be, just out of curiosity.
I don't know.
Like to get Kane in public, would there be?
Oh, to how much would I?
Yeah.
Everybody has a price, you're saying.
I think everybody has a price. Because at some point, you don't think you have a price. If,
and then all of a sudden you're going.
That money can really do a lot of good for people.
That could be, yeah.
Even for me.
I think it'd have to be more than $1 million.
I do too.
To get caned in public. Do I get to wear clothes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know.
And how long, how many hits would I get?
Let's say 20.
Okay.
I have no idea.
20
You
hits?
Might have scars on your back.
Mm-hmm.
I would, you know.
I'd do it for 500,000.
Oh, but you just had to do no less than $1 million earlier.
Yeah, no, I just decided if I couldn't get $1 million. Yeah, you know what? I got to quit doing that. I just gave myself a demotion.
I just
cut my pay in half.
I know.
What the fuck?
I know. You gave me a prophecy. No. You said, I foresee this happening, Julia. Next, you know, it's 12 months, you're going to do this. And I go, yeah. I go, I'll be happy with half that. You're like, well, you know what? Fine. How about a quarter of that? Like, yeah, I guess so. I go, like, well, then what will you not do it for? You know?
Yeah, that's me.
Crazy.
Though, yeah.
It's crazy. Well, no, it's me too. We gotta take it, girlfriend.
So, Julie, I have a quick question for you.
Yeah.
What if you had to live inside a movie, of every movie you've ever seen, which one would you choose? And conversely, which one would you not want to live inside?
So you're telling this literally as we have no time left for the show.
Oh, really?
The show is over.
Oh. Well, then quickly give me a quick answer.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I think.
Would you not want to live in a quiet place?
I don't think I would.
Yeah.
Because at some point I'm going to sneeze.
Yeah. Fart.
Or fart. Something like that's going to happen. I mean, unless you're literally living with a towel between your butt. Living with, you know, thing over your face all the time. You did, at some point, you're just going, is this worth it?
Yeah.
Is this worth it? You know.
And then what is the movie that you could live in, that you'd like to live in?
Something challenging, kind of fun. It would be the first Matrix. Because the world they live in is fantastical.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to control it. But, you know, that would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Best little whorehouse in Texas
is the one you'd want to live in.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be the madam or like one of the poor whores?
I could work my way up.
You already have. That's, you've already done that. And you married a guy that looked like Burt Reynolds. And what's your one you hate?
The one I would not want to live inside.
Yeah.
Godfather 3.
She's like, this is horrible. This is a letdown. Literally, I heard the other day someone talking about Godfather 3 as one, and that was the best trilogy ever made. And I'm like, even Godfather 3. Like, yeah, I heard it on the radio. I'm like, maybe enough time has passed.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe.
Yeah. So, girlfriend, how was the show the other day?
It was great.
It was great. Hey, when you get us on iTunes, give us a rating, will you?
Yeah, please.
Give us a 5-star, 4-star, 4.5. We're good.
Well, let's give us 5, and then we'll take 2.5. We got to keep our.
We gotta stop doing that crap. What's wrong with us?
Especially as coaches.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's crazy.
Here, you know, I'd like to give you 500,000. Oh,
that's too much.
We'll take 2.5.
I have literally done that though.
I know.
I've had a client going, let me give you an extra $100. I'm like, oh, that's too much. What is wrong with us? Okay. Have a great day, everyone. And was it?
It was great.
It was great.